Page Mem Aleph, we're in the middle paragraph. Okay, yesterday we were describing a little bit of a deep piece, challenging piece, based on a Torah from Rabbi Nachman about the difference between Hoshana Rabbah and Simchas Torah. So he explained to us that Hoshana Rabbah represents Diburei Tefillah and Torah without Deah. That sometimes we have to learn, we have to continue to speak words of Tefillah, even though we're not deeply connected, even though we don't feel a chiyus in our learning and our davening. Right? And then sometimes we're able to feel more connected, and that's embodied by Simchas Torah, where the words of Torah and Tefillah are with connection. Hoshana Rabbah is the day of the Arava. The Aravas correspond to which part of the body? The lips. As if to say, Hoshana Rabbah is the day where you have to just keep saying. And that's why on Hoshana Rabbah we say a couple of words and we scream out Hoshana, like a desperate person who's just doesn't really know how to be misadder his words, doesn't know how to express himself clearly, can't express a full idea, but just is calling for help. Right? That's a person who's, again, he's not connected even to his own words. He just needs help. He knows he needs help. And he explained the pasuk in Tehillim, Ki Shemesh Umagin Hashem Elokim, that there's an aspect called Shemesh and an aspect called Magin. Shemesh corresponds to the name Hashem, when things are clear, Shemesh. And Magin is when a person plays defense. When Hashem approaches you with the Midah of Elokim, with Midah Sadin, you have to be the type of person who is able to be mugging, who is able to hold his own, to make sure he doesn't slip backwards. Okay, and then he told us about the Baal Shem Tov, how the Baal Shem Tov at times had a difficulty. And when a person goes through that Yerida and holds on as best he can, then he's zochet to an even greater aliyah than perhaps he had originally. Because again, through the struggle, a person builds strength. The Fum Tzara Agra, Mishnah Pirkei Avos. In accordance with the struggle is the reward. And we tried to connect it very briefly to Hanukkah by pointing out that the pasuk in Micha that he quoted, even though I've fallen, I've gotten back up, or maybe because I have fallen, I've reached new heights. Right? The pasuk says, "Ki eshev bechoshech, Hashem or li." Though I sit in darkness, Hashem is my light. So we explained how it's relevant to our world today, and how it's relevant to Hanukkah. Right? B'derech Remes, we said that "Ki eshev bechoshech, Hashem or li." Is Gematria 936, which is the same Gematria as Ikvasod Mashiach, the period in which we're living, a period where even though we're in the dark, but if we continue to walk by the light of Hashem, we're able to have clarity. And we explained how that's connected to the 36 candles of Hanukkah, how that Alexander Rebbe says each of the candles has the name of God hovering over it. So that's why 36 times 26, 36 candles times 26, Hashem's name, is also Gematria 936. And then we added, which I forgot to mention in the morning, but we added right before Gemara Shir, right, that the Stuchina Rebbe says that Shemen, which of course is the substance of Hanukkah, Shemen has the ability to leave a tremendous mark on things, the stain, the Roshem that oil makes. And that's why the Stuchina Rebbe says if you spell out the letters Shin, Mem, Nun, it's Gematria Roshem, right, which means a mark. The Shemen leaves a mark. And then he added that Shemen plus Roshem is also Gematria 936. Okay, so we see that this theme of Hanukkah, this number 936, repeats itself. But again, the message for us is that what? That ki eshev b'choshech Hashem orli. That a Jew who goes through dark times and is able to cling to Kadosh Baruch Hu is able to achieve great things. And he ended by telling us the pasuk in Nechemya, which really encapsulates the whole thing we were learning yesterday, which is v'haya lanu halayla mishmar, that at night a person has to have defense, mishmar, shmira, right? And bayom, v'hayom malacha, and by day to try to move ahead. We spoke about two types of battles. Sometimes on the battlefield, you have to try to conquer new territories, and sometimes you need to just try to fortify and hold on to those areas that you've already conquered. Okay, so now continuing on page Mem Aleph, in the big middle paragraph, an amazing medrash on Tehillim. He says, in the medrash Shochar Tov on Tehillim, we find the following. Re'isi derash noah ala pasuk. I found an amazing drasha on the pasuk in Tehillim. Pasuk says, Rigzu va'al techetau. Rigzu v'al techetau. Tremble and don't sin. Tana b'shem Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Everyone's so used to the drash. You have to remember, the word is mikveh, not mikveh. The drasha is the mikveh. But mikveh, right? Like kaveh. The hope of the Jewish people is Hashem. But of course, Chazal Darshan in many places, the last Mishnah in Yoma, here in this Medrash in Tehillim, Mahamikva hazeh mitaras atameim, Afakadosh Baruch Hu mitaras Yisrael. Hashem is, so to speak, the mikvah of the Jewish people. Hashem is not only the hope of the Jewish people, But Hashem, like a mikvah, purifies the Jewish people. Now, chaver, let's think about this for a second. If you're impure, you have to go to the mikvah. The mikvah doesn't come to you. Right? It says the Medrash, Umi roi leilech etzel mi. Who should go to who? If you're tame and you're seeking assistance, right? So you have to come to the mikvah. Havayomer hatame tzarech leilech etzel mikvah v'litbolbo. Right? The pasha says that the tame person has to go and immerse himself in the mikvah. You have to decide, I want to change. I want to be pure. I'm going to pick myself up and I'm going to schlep myself to the mikvah and I'm going to dunk myself in there into an environment where I can't survive and I'm going to be born again. A new person, purified. Kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani amarti kishe'ata mispalel hispal v'beis ha'knesses shebi'ircha. Hashem says, ideally, you come to me. Right? You come to me. You want to talk to me? So come to shul. Come to the shul in your town. What if you can't? Look what the Medrash says. It's amazing. V'im'ata eincha yachol leilech l'beis ha'knesses shebi'ircha hispal b'soch b'ischa. But if you can't, if you can't bring yourself to the mikvah, if you can't schlep yourself out to shul, so you know what? So at least do what you can, daven in your house. And if you're not even able to do that, tispala al mitascha. So daven in your bed. If you can't even get out of bed, daven in your bed. And if you're not even able to say the words, so then at least think the words in your heart. Have a hirhur of tefillah while lying in bed. If you can't even open your mouth, at least think tefillah. Do what you can. That's what it means in Tehillim when it says, right? Imru bilavavchem al mishkavchem v'domu sela. Imru bilavavchem. What do you mean? Say in your heart. Say in your heart means to think something. Al mishkavchem, when you're still lying in bed. Amr avyudin abavach tido me'avera shabiyadchal. Right? V'domu sela says the Medrash means as long as you're what? Tido me'avera shabiyadchal. As long as you are silenced from doing averos. He explains in parentheses, l'chor ha'chavana, perhaps what the Medrash is saying, that the hemshech ha'drash, shem eina yachol gam laharher, l'chol ha'pachos shelo yachta. If you can't even think words of Torah, at least don't do averos in bed. So look how the Medrash sets up many, many madregos of doing what you can. Ideally, get out of bed and go to shul. Go to the mikvah. Go to Hashem. If you can't go to Hashem, at least get out of bed and daven in your house. If you can't get out of bed, just daven in bed. If you can't even daven, at least think words of think tefillah. Right. Have your hurei tefillah. And if you can't even do that, at least don't do averos. Amazing. Says the Medrash, ve'emata osa kain. And if you do this, ro'a maksiv basra, what does the pasuk say afterwards? Zivchu zivchei tzedek. Mala ani alecha, ki'ilu asisa mizbeach, ve'krafta alav karbanos harbe. And if you do this, says Hashem, I'll give you the credit as if you built the mizbeach and offered many offerings upon it. Now, if you did what? If you did any of these. Each person according to his madriga. Chanukah is a Yom Tov, where we highlight a person's avoda l'fi madrigaso. Even though, of course, everyone in Klal Yisrael is noeg mahadrim and a mahadrin, right? But it's unusual that in halacha you have many different shitos that are acceptable. You have mahadrim and a mahadrin. You have neri subeso. Right? Ner l'chol echad v'echad. Three different levels of lighting their Chanukah. And all of them are found in Shulchan Aruch. Even Beis Shammai's Shita, which normally is not given any credit in Halacha, except in the cases that we learned in Tosfos, where we're passing like Beis Shammai, and Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, and Sukkah, six places where we're passing like Beis Shammai over Beis Hillel, but normally Beis Shammai's Shita is rejected completely in Halacha. If you light your Ner Chanukah, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, the way that Beis Shammai says to do it, the Bir Halacha, the Chavetz Chaim discusses that might have a place on Chanukah. Why do we have so many different ways to light the menorah on Chanukah? Why do we give room for all different expressions, so to speak, on Chanukah? Again, everyone, the minhag by most Jews, I would say, you know, ruba the Klal Yisrael, most people light, right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But there are different shitas in halacha. That's strange. You don't find, usually, by a mitzvah, oh, you could do it this way, or you could do it that way. There's a halacha. There's not different levels. Oh, if you want to do this level, give a little more, you want to do the most. But again, it reflects the fact that as long as a person is doing the best that he can, be'emes, he doesn't have to feel bad about it. You don't have to be apologetic about it. As long as you're trying the best that you can, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, you don't have to justify yourself to anyone. I had a very enlightening conversation with someone, I can't get into the details now, in Eretz Yisrael. But the person who's older than me, was giving me some good advice. And said, as long as you know that you're doing the best you can, you don't have to explain yourself to anyone. You don't have to justify, you don't have to give a whole explanation as to why you're doing. If you really believe that you're doing what's right, then don't worry about it. You don't have to try to explain yourself. Hashem knows, if you could say before Kodesh Baruch, I'm trying my best, then Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Ma'alani alecha kilo asisa mizbeach. You built a mizbeach and you offered a lot of karbanos. Whether that means going to shul, whether that means davening in bed, whether that means just not doing averos. Again, you have to be honest with yourself. That's why it's hard to learn these types of svarim, because they could, God forbid, become an excuse if you're not honest. Right? But a person who is honest and tries his best, Hashem says, you brought the biggest carbon in the world. Zevach ein sivkan el zivche. Not one carbon, many carbonos, plural. Uvitchu el Hashem. Bitchu bi, trust me, says Hashem, shani mishalim lechem schar harbe. Trust me that if you're trying your best, you're going to be fine. You're going to be as great in my mind as Reb Chaim Kanievsky, even though you don't even measure up to his toenail in Limud Torah. But you did the best you could. You tried. You tried, you did what you could. You tried hard to understand the Gemara. If you didn't try, then there's nothing to talk about. But if you tried the best you could, even if it's a life of struggle, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, trust me. Right? That's the end of the pasuk. Zivchu zivchei tzedek uvitchu al Hashem. And trust that Hashem knows that you're trying the best you can. And you're going to get paid for that. Nothing to be ashamed of. But again, this is part of the struggles and the ups and downs of life. Zivchu zivchei tzedek means that you've met like mizbeach. Like zevach is like zvachim. Mesech is zvachim. Karbanos. Zivchu zivchei tzedek. You've offered righteous offerings. So Hashem says, if you try your best, I'll consider whatever you did, it'll be as if you brought a carbon, right? If you went to shul, it's like you brought a lot of carbonos. If you davened in bed, it's like you brought a lot of carbonos. If you did whatever you could do, and again, that's why a person has to be honest to say, what does the situation call for? Sometimes different situations call for different things. And a person has to be okay with that. Okay, bottom paragraph. Umuv ala pasuk v'yarev v'yivoker yom echad. Merumas kan shebetkufas erev v'choshech la'asos kafia efshari li'ishtadel hinotzel min ha'mezika min ha'ra uve'eis ha'aliyah v'ha'or li'iskadim v'lichvosh asara. Vayhi erev vayhi voker yom echad. Yom echad. Vayhi erev vayhi voker. In times of dark, in times of light, right? Yom echad. It could be one and the same. Meaning what? In times, he says, of periods of darkness, a person has to do lasos kafiha efshari in the second line, to do what he can. Lishtadel yinotzam in a mazikum in ara, to at least play defense, right? To protect himself from negativity. Uve'es ha'aliyah v'ha'or, and when it's boker, when it's a time of clarity, when it's a time where he can push forward, then he has to liskadim lichvosh asara, then he needs to conquer the evil, and he has to move ahead. Ulivnos es beis hamikdash, and to build the beis hamikdash. Now, what does that mean, build the beis hamikdash? So he says, as binyan mocho, to build up your mind, to strengthen your mental state. Kamo shamru chazal, as chazal say, kol mi sheyesh bo deya ki'ilu nivna beis hamikdash biyamav. Interesting maimer chazal. A person who has das, person of deya, that's what we're describing. Again, we spoke about Hoshana Rabbah versus Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah means when a person reaches that higher level, where the mitzvos and the Torah and the tefillah is with deya, is with attachment, with connection. So when a person builds up his mind, the Beis HaMikdash of self, then, and he's a person of das, he's a person of dveikus, of attachment, then it's as if he built the Beis HaMikdash. He becomes a Beis HaMikdash. Vaznase mishneihem yachdav yom echad letova. And then, vayi'ere vayivoker yom echad. Or say it differently. How else could you say it? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem echad. A person who has a mature understanding of life understands that there's ups and downs, there's light and dark. There's Havaya, there's Yudke Vavke, Hashem's name of kindness, and there's Elohim, Hashem's name of Midas Adin. But Yom Echad, Hashem Echad, it's all one. And a person who's able to understand these different modes of service of Hashem will become a strong person and build his inner world, his inner Beis HaMikdash. Vaznasem yishneyem yachtav Yom Echad Atov, and it becomes one good experience. Hainu shebizchus ha'ischazkus b'yemei ha'yirida. When a person is able
to strengthen himself in those times of Yerida, and is able to be noheg, to do whatever he can, the best he can, right? Even though he doesn't have hasaga, he doesn't have levels of understanding, he doesn't feel chiyus, he doesn't feel, again, energized, zochin la'aliyah chashuva. He's zochin to a great aliyah. Because again, you're highlighting the fact that I don't just do it when it feels good. I have a deep understanding that what I'm doing is right. And when I understand that it's right, I do it, whether I'm into it or not into it. Because I need this. Right? I'm not in the mood to breathe, but I breathe because my life is dependent upon it. I'm not in the mood to sleep, but my body needs to sleep at some point. I'm not in the mood to eat, but I know if I don't eat, I'm going to die. So if I believe that Torah is a Torah's chaim, if my life is dependent upon it, whether I'm feeling it or not, I have to do what I need to do to survive. And my spiritual survival depends upon Torah and tefillah. K'moshe kasev b'Yaol, turn the page. V'shilamti lachem es hashanim asher ochel ha'arba v'achaltem achol v'savoa v'hilaltem es shem Hashem Elokeichem. Hainu. She'b'shnos ha'aliyah v'hashefa yekavlu schar gam k'tashlam asha'amdu k'ray v'imei ha'tzimtzum v'hayirita. Right, the pasuk in Yaol, of course, describing the terrible plague of locusts. Right, so the pasuk says what? Vishilamti lachem es hashanim asher ochel ha'arba. They'll be compensated for the years that the locust ate the food. V'achaltem achol v'savoa v'hilaltem es shem Hashem Elokeichem. I mean, again, a person who's able to push through the dark times is paid back b'keflayim. He gets paid back a double payment. And lastly, he ends the piece by quoting Rashi in Yeshaya, Perek Lamed Gimel, where the pasuk says, a famous pasuk, "V'haya amunas yitecha chosein Yeshua's chachmas v'das." Right? V'haya amunas yitecha, the faith of your times, chosein Yeshua's chachmas v'das, will create tremendous salvation, will be the strength of your salvation, and your knowledge and your understanding. So how does Rashi explain it? Amunas yitecha. Emunas itecha, es shehamanto b'kadosh baruch hu b'itim she'avru alecha. Emunas itecha, to be a mamin at all times, to always maintain your faith, right? Not to just be close with Hashem when things are going your way and things feel right and you're inspired, but to be connected with emuna, with real emuna, to be connected to a kadosh baruch hu itecha at all times. V'tzipisa l'yoshua, and to long for salvation, to believe that things are going to get better. Whether it's on a global scale, Mashiach's arrival, or whether it's a personal Yeshua. Tiyel l'chol l'chosen Yeshuas. It's that belief in Hashem and in Itim in all times that becomes the strength of the salvation. Through the Amunah that you have, that I'm going to be a Jew, no matter what, it gives a person the strength of the salvation. I'll tell you an amazing Torah. Just thought of it now. And it's not a Chiddush, I'm saying I just remembered it now. Remember the Gemara in Brachos describing Rabbi Akiva being taken to his death? Right? It says that Rabbi Akiva was being taken out to be killed. And they were combing his flesh with iron combs. Right? And Rabbi Akiva on his deathbed is crying out, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And the Talmidim say, Rabbeinu, Ad Kan, how far does a person have to go? And he says, yes, my whole life I've been waiting to die al-Kiddush Hashem. Okay. And Rabbi Akiva says, yes, even in such a moment I'm able to say Shema. There's a part of the Gemara. I first heard this from Rabbi Penner a couple years ago on the YU Shvuas Yarchei Kala, which I was fortunate enough to be a part of. So Rabbi Penner gave a shir, and he quoted this idea that it says, if you read the Gemara carefully, it's a crazy thing. I mean, how do you picture this scene? Rabbi Akiva is right dying al Kiddush Hashem, and like a Jew, Rachmana Litzlan, being thrown into a gas chamber or being killed by a Roman, right? He cries out, unbelievable expression of Amunah all the way till the end of his life. Right? Rabbi Akiva, Zu Torah v'Zu Schara, this is a life of, right? This is the, Moshe Rabbeinu sees a picture of Rabbi Akiva and he says, how could this be? Gemara Menachos, Rabbi Akiva such a tzaddik, how could this be? For all the Torah that he learned and all the Torah that he taught, this is the end. And Hashem says, you don't understand how things work and keep quiet. But Rabbi Akiva, an unbelievable manifestation of Amunah, cries out, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Yeah? That's how I always pictured it. Until Rabbi Penner pointed out, from the Gemara, just read the Gemara, that's not what the Gemara says. What does the Gemara say? When they took Rabbi Akiva out to be killed, it was Man Kriya Shema. You missed that part of the Gemara. You totally forget about that line in the Gemara. They took Rabbi Akiva out, it was Kriya Shema. It was time for Kriya Shema. Right? You get so caught up in the scene of Rabbi Akiva having his flesh, you know, flayed from his body with iron combs. And you hear the Shema Yisrael Hashem, and Yatzan Ishmasa Be'echad, he dies on the word Echad. You say, wow, Rabbi Akiva, unbelievable, dying Al Kiddush Hashem with Shema on his lips.
Rabbi Kiva says to his Talmidim, you know why I'm saying Shema? Because it's Zman Kriya Shema. He looked at myzmanim.com and he said, you know, it's time for Sof Zman Kriya Shema. So he said, Rabbeinu, Ad Kan? Right? Even in such a state, you're able to do mitzvos. And he says, a Jew has to do what a Jew has to do. That's, I think, much more chashuv. That when they took Rabbi Kiva out to be killed, the Gemara says it was Zman Kriya Shema. He says Shema because a Jew says Shema. Is this a time to be praising Hashem? Rabbi Kiva could have asked a million questions on God. He could have died with the same question of Moshe Rabbeinu. Zo Torah, Zo Schara. This is Torah and its reward. But Rabbi Kiva said a Jew has to push through. If it's time to say Shema, that's my obligation. V'haya amunah sitecha. To have amunah, right? To say Shema in all times. And that's the Chosen Yeshua. That's the biggest Yeshua. What do you mean that's the biggest Yeshua? He died a tragic death. It's the biggest Yeshua because it shows that the enemy can't destroy us. The fact that Rabbi Akiva could maintain the mindfulness to know it's 8:45 in the morning, right? And Sof Zman Kriya Shema is 8:47. The fact that Rabbi Akiva could maintain that awareness shows that he's infinitely stronger than his Roman oppressors. That's the Chosen Yeshua's. That's the strength of the salvation. The fact that he wouldn't allow them to take away his Amunah. Like I told you once the story with Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky in Siberia, where he woke up after years of captivity and said, Moda ani lefanecha, melechai v'kayam, shechazar tibi nishmasi. And he said, what am I saying Moda ani about? Thanking Hashem for another day of hell on earth? What am I thanking Hashem for? And then he realized, Rabba emunasecha. Because my enemies can take away my tefillin, and they can take away my Shabbos, they can take away my Gemara, and they can take away all of the things that a Jew hopefully has in this world. But there's one thing that they can't take away. My emunah. I decide when I hand in my emunah. If I choose to believe, they can't take that away. That's something that's taking place internally, no matter what they're doing to me. And Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky said, now I understand. Moda ani, what am I saying? Rabba emunasecha. Great is the mitzvah of emunah. I never realized how big the mitzvah of emunah is. It's so big that even in Siberia, hell on earth, where there's nothing, no mitzvahs, no Shabbos, no kashrus, no Torah, no tefillah, no tefillin, no lulav, no esrog, no matzah. But there's one thing I do have, and that's my emunah. And again, that's what we're learning here. That a person who's able to keep pushing becomes a much, much stronger person. And Rabbi Akiva, the Baskel says, Yasa nishmasa be'echad. Rabbi Akiva, you're a one-of-a-kind Jew. Your mamash a one-of-a-kind Jew. Okay? Good? Rabbi Jordan, you had a question, a comment? Right, but if you read the Gemara more carefully, it says when they took Rabbi Akiva out to be killed, it was Zman Kriya Shema. And to me, that's even more powerful. The fact that he maintained that awareness that a Jew has to say Shema even when he's being tortured. So Alachas Kam V'Kam, I have to drag myself out of bed even when I'm not feeling like davening. That's certainly less oppressive than a Roman ripping off your flesh. Right, I'm just not in the mood. Okay, so do what you got to do. Rabbi Akiva did it. Be a big person and do what you got to do. That's the avodah. Okay, let's go a little further. Let's go on to the next piece. B'chiyah shel tikva. Now again, thematically, all the pieces are connected, but I'm sorry that we're kind of, you know, usually we have a lot of hatzlacha. Hashem has been very good to us, I feel like, over the years, that like when we land on a particular piece, it's like, you know, like this next piece would be about Hanukkah. Right? That's like usually how things have worked out for us. Okay, the last piece was about Hoshana Rab and Simchas Torah. So we're a little behind schedule on that. All right, and this next piece is about Tisha B'Av. Okay, so we'll have to, okay. But Torah is always relevant. So let's see what we can learn from Tisha B'Av. Okay? Because the limud is shava l'chol yemos Hashem. But the particular idea is expressed through the lens of Tisha B'Av. Again, Kedarcha B'Kodesh, he begins with a line from Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman, Lekute Maran, Kuf Ayin Hei, brings an interesting remiss. He says that the word Bechia, which of course means crying, is merumas in the phrase in the pasuk b'shimcha yagilun kol hayom. In your name, yagilun kol hayom. We rejoice all day. Rashi tevos b'chia beiz chaf yud hay b'shimcha yagilun kol hayom. Is crying. Is Rashi tevos b'chia. Now, why would crying be alluded to in an expression of a phrase that means endless joy, endless rejoicing? So what he's going to explain to us is that there's a very big difference between the way that a Jew cries, right, and the way that maybe the rest of the world cries.
And we'll see it again through the lens of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av hu yom ha-kosha b'yoser li-yisrael. Tisha B'Av is the day that we dread all year round. Yom muchan l'peranus. It's a day that historically has been a day of tremendous punishment for Klal Yisrael. Yom hisgabrus hadinim. It's a time of tremendous midas hadin. Bo nechrav beis alokeinu pa'amayim. Not only once was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed, but twice on that exact date. V'nitzavinu livchos ulisabel bo al churbanu. And of course we cry on that day over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Ulam tzarch yuntuva. And yet, everybody knows that on the other side of the coin, Tisha B'Av has within it a very, very unbelievable simcha hidden within. Shedavka al yom zeh nemar she'ein omer botachdut. If you remember, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Tavkuf Nun Tes, that we don't say Tachnun on Tisha B'Av. Why don't we say Tachnun on Tisha B'Av? Mishum de'ikri moed. Because Tisha B'Av is called a moed. Now how would you translate the word moed? A festival? Is that what you said? Okay. Think about the Mishkan being called the Ohel Moed. How do we translate Ohel Moed? The tent of meeting. And moed really means an encounter. Obviously here we're saying that moed has a good connotation. Although the truth is, a moed just means an encounter. And I can learn a lot from negative encounters also. I can learn a lot from an encounter with a bad person, just like I can learn a lot from an encounter with a tzaddik. Right? Yaakov learns a lot from his encounters with Esav and his encounters with Lavan and his encounters with, Galus Mitzrayim. So a moed means an encounter. Now the truth is, the pasuk that this is based on at the beginning of Eicha is even being darshened a little bit out of context. Why? What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says, Kara alai moed. Kara alai moed. They declared a moed. So Tisha B'Av is a moed. It's a holiday. It's a festival. Right? Of course, the pasuk shot in the pasuk, Kara alai moed, means that their enemies declared a day of rage against the Jewish people. Kara alai moed means that they set a time to slaughter us. But Chazal say, no, it says moed, so therefore it's a moed, Tisha B'Av is a moed, it's a happy day, no tachnan. Right, it's not exactly a happy day. So what's going on here? V'yesh lefarish di lefi ha'emes, ba'om kan shel dvarim, yom zehu yom shel tikva u'moed lam yisrael. But the truth is, says Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, if you understand the pnimius of Tisha B'Av, if you understand what's hinted to within Tisha B'Av, then you understand that what? That it's ba'obukan shal dvaram, in the depth of the matter, yom zehu yom shal tikva u'moi la'am yisrael. It's a day of tremendous hope. Every year on Tisha B'Av, we mourn the fact that it's Tisha B'Av, right? But we also pick ourselves up on Tisha B'Av. And we also don't say tachnun on Tisha B'Av. And we also believe, as he's going to quote in a few moments from now, that Mashiach is going to be born on Tisha B'Av, like the Medrash says. So built within the sorrow of Tisha B'Av and the mourning of Tisha B'Av is the potential for what? Is the potential to believe that it's still shayach to have a Beis HaMikdash. If we don't feel that it's possible to have a Mashiach, then there's nothing to cry. Then just forget it. It's over. We're lamenting the fact that we didn't bring the Gula. But that's an expression of our belief that there is still a possibility in 2017, Tav Shinayin Ches, to bring the Gula. That's an amazing thing. The very fact that we're still mourning and we're still crying, that cry and that mourning is an expression that it still stands before us the possibility, the hope of being able to experience eternal salvation. Because to cry over things of the past is really pointless. What does it help to cry over the fact that we don't have, that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Does that bring it back? Does that do anything? To cry over things of the past is foolish, he says. Why am I crying over my house that's been destroyed? If I cry a lot, does the house get rebuilt? If I cry a lot, does my ship that drowned at sea with all of my cargo and I lost thousands and thousands of dollars, right, does it come back through my tears? Shein la shivam, it doesn't return. And therefore crying over something of the past is foolish. So therefore, the fact that we're crying on Tisha B'Av, right, the fact that Chazal decreed we're supposed to cry, means it's obviously not an expression of foolishness. from the fact that Chazal decreed that it should be a day of crying and fasting and mourning, mikan guf araya, from that itself is the proof, shabechi inu bechi shel yayush, it's not tears of despair, va'atzvus, or sadness, al davar hacholef, over something of a temporary nature that will never be restored, ela bechi shel tikva la'asid tov, but it's a bechia of hope. It's a cry of of longing for something that's going to happen. While Yeshua Hasid Alava, Haynu Shebesof Pnimiuso Shel Abechi VaAtzar Yesh Tikva Gedola Avoreinu. That contained within all of those tears is an unbelievable expression of hope and the potential for tremendous joy. Which again, Chazal say that the 3 weeks are going to turn into a celebration. It's going to turn into Yom Tov when Mashiach comes. It's going to be totally Vinahafachu, turned inside out. So now we're starting to understand, again, let's just make sure we connect it back to the opening line. What was the opening line? Rabbi Nachman said that b'shimcha yagilun kol hayom, which is an expression of what? Constant joy and celebration is Rosh Hashanah's b'chiyah. Because when a Jew cries, a Jew doesn't cry a cry of desperation. A Jew cries a cry of hope. A Jew cries a longing. It's a tefillah. My tears are a tefillah, right, for a better future. And over that future, it's kedai to celebrate. Last line. And therefore, built into the very essence of Tisha B'Av is a tremendous, again, sense of hope and longing for something better. Turn the page. For the crow of Moed, to the point that we can actually call it a Moed. Kumavur b'kro, as the Pasuk has explained. And contained within that, again, that sadness is the Yom Tov of salvation. And with this, of course, we understand why Mashiach is going to be born on Tisha B'Av, according to the Medrash. Because contained, again, within the sadness of Tisha B'Av, is the greatest potential for celebration. One of the early tzaddikim of Chassidus, Rav Pinchas Karitzer, sort of a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, had a few encounters with the Baal Shem Tov. Rav Pinchas Karitzer said, "Shehakrovim elav chashu ba'omek b'chiyaso b'chiyah shel tikva v'shel simcha." Rav Pinchas Karitzer says, those who really were close to me and understood me, right, knew that contained with all of the rivers of tears that I cried on Tisha B'Av was a tremendous cry of hope and a cry of celebration, a cry of joy. Knowing that in the future, there's going to be a final gula. Kamo kein muva. The same thing is true. He quotes from the Sefer Mayanos HaNetzach in the name of Rav Mordechai Chaim of Slanim, Rav Matal Slanimer, ala pasuk vatir eyu as hayeled vihinei na'ar bocha. If you remember in Shmos Perek Beis, when Bas Paro finds Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, and she sees the baby, and she says vihinei na'ar bocha. A na'ar is not a baby. A na'ar means a young boy. So Chazal explained that he had the cry of a nar. V'tomer, and she said, "Miyalde ha'ivrim zeh." This must be a Jewish baby. How did she know it's a Jewish baby? Chazal said maybe she saw that he had a heavenly glow. Maybe she saw he had a bris milah, right? Was there something in the way that he cried that she knew he was a Jewish baby? Says Rav Matal Slonimer, yes. U'mipashtus lashon ha'kasev nira, she covers those me'ofen b'chiyaso shel yalid. The Pashup Shad of the Pasuk is that she was able to determine he was a Jew by the way he was crying. How did she know this? How did she figure it out? So if you look in the Baal HaTurim, he says based on the Medrash, and it's a beautiful Pshat, I'll just mention it, because you should know this Pshat. Who's the Na'ar Bocha? Moshe's not a Na'ar, Moshe's a baby. Who's the Na'ar Bocha? Aaron. His brother Aaron was standing on the side watching over him, just like Miriam was. Right? And when she saw that there was someone else crying over this baby, when she saw that someone else was so moved about someone else's pain, she said, this must be a Jew. Because that's the nature of a Jew. A Jew is pained. A Jew is pained by someone else's pain. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz wouldn't read the newspaper in the morning. His wife wouldn't let him read the newspaper in the morning. Because he was very, very emotional. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz was madly in love with Torah, and he was madly in love with Jews. And one time he beat his wife to the paper in the morning. And he read the paper, and he read that there were four Israelis, no one he knew, who had been killed in a car accident. And he came to shir that day, and he gave like an hour and a half, you know, 2 hour long shir, crying the entire time. Crying. They asked him after, "What are you?" He gave his regular, like, you know, shir. "What were you crying about?" So he explained. He said, "I saw the paper this morning, and 4 Jews were killed. How could I not cry?" His wife used to censor the paper because she said, and he couldn't. He said, "I could never understand how a person could read a newspaper over breakfast. Who could read a newspaper and eat at the same time?" Unbelievable deep connection. So when a Jew cries over another Jew, right, to see the way that a Jew cries for another Jew, "Minenar bocha." And the Baal Turim says a remez. I think he says, "Minenar bocha es gematria Aaron" or something like that. Is that Aaron a kohen? We'll look it up. It's the Baal Turim on the pasuk. Okay, so that's one pshat. That she knew he was a Jew because she saw someone else was crying over him. It's a beautiful pshat. But says, I'll say even more simple. She heard the way that he cried. There's a difference to the way that a Jew cries. Right? How did she know he was a Jew? She saw in the cry itself, Shubechi shel Yehudi, Sugbechi shel Tikva. It was a cry of hope, a cry of longing, a cry that contained within it an expression of joy. Because when most people cry, it's a foolish cry of desperation, right, of surrender. But the cry of the Jewish people throughout all the generations is b'chiyah shel tikva. U'b'chiyah shel Yehudi, he b'chiyah shel tikva. V'zeh, v'hinei nar bocha. When she saw that the nar was bocha, his bone in the b'chiyah shel, she saw there's a depth, a maturity to his cry. V'teira ki miyaldei ha'ivrim zeh. As she said, that's the biggest simon in the world, that this must be a Jewish boy. Okay, so again, thematically it's the same theme that we've been learning, to try to identify, even in the most broken experiences in life, in the hardest times, and the biggest struggles, but a Jew has to always maintain a certain positive outlook, a willingness to see beyond, you know, the immediate struggle, and to believe that if I'm willing to continue to hope, then Emir Tashem, the tears of pain, will be turned into tears of joy. Okay? Chav, I think we'll stop here for today. And we'll continue Emir Tashem on Monday.